Hi, my name is Amy Giese, and my favorite thing is concert photography.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Finding Favorites. This is Leah Jones. It is Sunday the 15th. It is very windy in Chicago, and I have a really fun interview for you today. I got on the Zoom with Amy Giese. Now, I forgot to ask her at the end to pitch all of her places, but she is on the internet. She's known as Griebel House, H-A-U-S. I'll link to her, all of her good things in the show notes. Some of you, if you're really old school on the internet, might have known her as Griebel Monkey once upon a time, I think. But she's a concert photographer in Denver and has been, I knew her from Blog Her way, way, way back in the day and parent blogging. So we talk about concert photography, the etiquette of concert photography, some of the biggest names she shot, some of her favorite local bands, and looking forward to a post-COVID vaccine world when we are back in live concert venues. We are a couple weeks out from Thanksgiving, and I'm hearing from my friends all over the country that they're making the right choice and canceling their Thanksgiving trips. COVID is at the highest level it's been since this whole thing started in March. It's a pretty scary, virus. And right now we have to disappoint our families by putting their health and safety first and cancel Thanksgiving plans. I have a neighbor who's an indoor friend in my pod, and we're going to make some side dishes and maybe a little bit of turkey. But just like we missed Passover and Rosh Hashanah, Thanksgiving is something we're going to have to set aside this year or celebrate in a different way. So I hope that if you're listening to this, you are making the responsible choice in canceling your Thanksgiving plans, or changing them to be incredibly low mileage and one household. Keep it in your pod, folks. Because, you know, traveling for Thanksgiving means funerals for Christmas. And I would really like to see my family for Christmas. And I'm already really sad that my siblings and nibblings out in Idaho and Washington can't travel in for this. And I'll be so angry if I can't go downstate to spend it with my sister and her boys and my parents. So do me a favor, make the choice that the federal government won't make for us and stay home this year. Get on Zoom, watch your traditional Thanksgiving movies over Zoom with your family, trade recipes, make your favorite side dish and order a pizza for the rest. But just stay home, stay safe, wash your hands, and wear a mask. So with that, with one further ado, I've gotten a couple really nice reviews on iTunes. If you have been listening to this and you would hop on over to iTunes, whether or not you listen on Apple, and rate and review the podcast, I would really appreciate that. I really appreciate the 5-star reviews I've been getting, or the 5-star ratings I've been getting, and I've got a couple nice reviews there and on Podcatcher. So tell people about this, share it around. The podcast isn't going anywhere. I'm going to keep working on it. So once again, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay home, and stay safe. And enjoy this conversation with Amy Giese, all about concert photography.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we find out about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. Well, here's the thing. Every week I say how excited I am to talk to my guests. And this week is no exception. I am here with Amy Giese, who I last saw at South by Southwest, possibly in 2009, at my No Asshole dinner deep in a bunker. Could that be the last time we saw each other?
I think so. And I haven't been to South by since 2011. So, yeah.
I'm with Amy Giese, who you're in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. In Denver.
And originally, I'm sure we connected through Blogger and the world of the old school world of blogging, pre-Twitter blogging.
Yeah, my site has been around. My site's called Griebel House, which is a silly name, but one of those things we made up long ago. But it's actually, this week is celebrating its 15th anniversary.
Wow. It sounds shocking to me.
It's crazy, right?
Right. But I started blogging in like, I think in late 03. That blog is long gone by now. But yeah, 15 years. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. And what's crazy is even with this last year of nuttiness, it's probably stronger than it's ever been. I think partly because it's been around so long, there's lots to Google on it. I haven't been obviously writing as much this year, but it's still very much a strong part of my life. So.
I'm excited to talk more about it because it does lead into your favorite thing that we're going to get to, but how are you?
I'm good. I'm lucky that, like I mentioned, 2011 was the year I went completely freelance. So I've been working at home since then. So in some ways, this past year hasn't been as huge of a transition as it has for some people. But at the same time, as we're going to talk about, I do a lot of concert photography. And so I've been that person that works at home all day and then goes out at night. And so that has been my big change this year. So that's been difficult, but you know, I'm healthy, I'm working, so I'm lucky.
Yeah. I hear you on that. This podcast is my not going out anymore. How I'm coping with that is that I'm going to say the first couple months I was like Netflix all the time because we thought it was just going to be a couple months and might as well watch all the TV. And then when it became clear it was going to be quite some time, I said, I got to do something with the time that I'm not on the train or out in the city. And so podcasting it was.
There you go.
And you are now an empty nester.
I am. Our son left for college this fall. He's going to college in Canada and he's an art major and we only have one son. And so, yeah, we're empty nesters. We have our tiny little house in Denver and I still, every time I hear a noise, I think it's him walking around the house, but he's doing well. He's doing mostly virtual classes. So that's a little strange for him, where he's in a different city, but it's good. It's nice to see all these things he's worked so hard for come to fruition.
Oh, that's so exciting. And because one of the things that we're going to talk about is, well, heck, let's go ahead and get into it because all the questions are gonna, like, I can't preview the whole interview and then we'll never get there.
Right.
But when we were chatting, just when we first came onto Zoom, you talked about how you had transitioned from having a mommy blog to having a music blog. And so if the blog is 15, that means he was a toddler when you started. So was your transition to music have anything to do with his growing sense of self and more control over what he wanted you to say on the internet?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Winner, winner. So I started out, it was, as we all did back then, just writing about stuff no intention other than creating a diary for my family and myself, and then kind of caught the wave of mom blogs, parent blogs. And, you know, and it was great and I loved it. But then, you know, they got to a point where they were Googling themselves, and he just kind of asked me, we talked about it. We're good at, you know, we're a really close knit family. And he just started taking ownership over what I said about him on the internet. Yeah. And also, one thing that kind of happened was during his elementary school years, we ran a fundraiser for his public school, elementary school, which is crazy. We had to raise like $150,000 a year to keep it on its feet. And we were like, if we're going to do that, we're going to have fun. And so we did a rock concert fundraiser. And that's how I started getting to know local Denver bands and photographing them. And so that's kind of how I started the transition as well, by running this fundraiser for his school. So I started photographing local bands and then starting to write about it as well. So it was a really natural transition both ways. And then I, you know, started writing about travel as well, as we started to be able to explore more and more as a family. But yeah, it was definitely based in him just not wanting every detail published on the internet about him.
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
ask.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And a huge sense of relief that at least my teens and 20s were less opportunity to make it forever.
Yeah, my son, his name is Dex, he pulled back on social media towards the end of high school. I think he was tired of us telling him how much it could affect his future. I mean, not that he was really a crazy kid or anything, but, and so he's just kind of starting to step back into it a little bit and sharing his artwork, but he's kind of conditioned. It's funny because he was so public as a child, right, through my blog. And then he himself is a little bit more private about these things. And we also talk about how lucky we are that our high school pictures don't show up anywhere.
Yeah, I think we are. Gen X had some good things happen to us, and that was one of them.
We're the lucky generation.
Yeah. So that fundraiser, mm-hmm, was because you always took beautiful photographs.
Oh, thank you.
And so was it just you were at those first fundraisers and you were like, well, I'm a photographer. I document things. I'm going to get this band. Or did you bring a photographer? Like, how did you tell me more about that? Moment.
Well, I mean, I always did photography, always back into high school. I was in the darkroom and thought about it for a career. I ended up going into graphic design, but I'm still kind of one of those slash type people that do it now as a freelancer, partially.
Yeah.
So, it was a nice, again, transition in terms of learning the ropes, because I've written about it on my blog, but it's not sometimes the easiest thing to figure out on how to become a concert photographer. But one of the best ways that I always say to do it is to start photographing local bands, because you can just ask them and they'll let you in with your camera versus trying to get a press pass or trying to photograph for established media. So it was a really great way for me to kind of, again, learn the ropes in a non-threatening way and get to know people around town. But yes, I started photographing the event, started getting to know bands, and then they would ask me to come photograph their shows, and it built from there.
Fun. Who are some of those local bands that who are some of the people that you've stayed with through their career?
That's a great question. One of my favorites and one of the first that played are still among our best friends personally is a band called My Body Sings Electric. And I remember distinctly asking the lead singer just in a bar if he would play this fundraiser, and he signed up that moment, and then they played, and they didn't have children. None of them had kids at the time. And all of us were fascinated with how the lead singer kind of led this group of kids like the Pied Piper, because it's, you know, the kids would open the band of, or excuse me, the school band opened this rock concert.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What a great experience.
Yeah. And so this little merry band of kids were just following him around like their cult leader or something. And we were like, had no idea that he had that kind of thing with kids. And now he's the father of two children who, you know, adore him, and it's fun to see him with his kids. But yeah, so, and they're still a band, they still play, and I see him around town all the time. So they're probably my, they have a song, you know, about friends and stuff too, so that we always laugh about. So.
Oh, that's nice. So you start by photographing local bands at the fundraiser, and then do you realize this is fun, I want to go and photograph at a bar? Or do some of those bands say, hey, Amy, we really liked what you're doing, come with us?
Yeah. And it, again, the next step is kind of the next size venue where you need a press pass. And so it maybe is a touring band, but that you might need to request a press pass from. And then at some point, like, I started to get on the press lists and people would ask me to come photograph who are touring. And then it gets, you know, and then it gets a kind of symbiotic relationship where they trust you, and then they ask you to do somebody else that they're representing, and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when you get to the largest level, like Red Rocks and these very large venues,
yeah,
that's when you ask the promoter, the people, you know, like Live Nation and AEG, who are, that's when you request through them. So again, it depends on the level of who you request through. And then you just continually build that relationship up. And again, it could be that somebody asks you to photograph, or you go and just search Google who the PR person is and show them your work, show them your blog or whatever, and say, can I come photograph? And they may or may not issue you a press pass.
Because I know some people in Chicago who have also done concert photography, and I feel like the tweets that I see in common between you and some of the people locally are, right, it's trying to get on that list, no matter right. what the venue is. And then it seems like they put restrictions around, you can have three songs, no flash, no this. What are those types of boxes they put around you as a photographer?
Yeah, and again, it's the higher, the larger the venue and the higher profile, the larger or more restrictive it is. But in general, unless it's a kind of local band show, you have three songs. And that is really about protecting the fan experience, making sure that you're not standing in front of fans all night. And then no flash is to not bother the band or the fans either. And it also doesn't do anything when you're talking about that kind of lighting scenario. It's just silly. It doesn't actually help anything, really, usually. Small clubs, maybe. But and so those things. And then there's other things. Like, I've had bands who have other things going on for the first couple songs, and then they will. So I've had other bands, you know, put in a restriction where they have other things going on for the first couple songs, and then they'll have us come in at song five.
Okay.
So again, you can think about your set depending on when you want the photographers to come in, but that's generally the rule of thumb is the first three. And sometimes they won't let you shoot from the front of house, or excuse me, from the pit. Front of house means at the soundboard. So you're in the back, depending on whether they don't want you up front. You know, and some people just don't even allow any photographers in, and that's their prerogative too.
Yeah. Do you ever get like a mix of, you know, because a show is never one band, or rarely.
Yeah.
So will,
like, that you're not allowed for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened. Or, you know, for at festivals, it's happened where you'll get approved, but then you'll say you need extra approval for this band, or this band is not allowing press, those kind of things.
Okay. So like a Riot Fest with three mm-hmm. stages, and
exactly.
like they might have extra restrictions within the day.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where I've actually been at festivals where people have been lined up to shoot a band that has been previously approved, and then the band decides they don't want. And so we were cut at the moment we were about to walk into the pit. So it could be anything.
Tell me more about that, about, because I guess because I've only one, I'm not a big live show person.
What?
Because I like chairs.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like a balcony chair person.
I have to tell you what's nice about photographing is that I go up front, I shoot my first three, and then I get out of the mess. I get my nice close up time, and then I go to the back and hang out by the bar. So I kind of get the, I personally, that's the way I love to do it, go to a concert. And sometimes I'll stay up front, but you know, for me, that a lot of people know to find me in the back because I'm not necessarily up there jumping around.
Yeah.
For that exact same reason. I just can't handle having, especially now, like it kind of creeps me out to think about all those people touching me.
Yeah. So let's, I want to stick with the idea of Riot Fest because I have been to the one in Chicago.
Riot Fest used to come to Denver too. I love it.
Yeah. It is, my friends that are festival goers pretty much would all rather go to Riot Fest than Lolla, and because Chicago gets Lollapalooza every year. Mm-hmm. But Riot Fest seems to be the cooler one for people over 25, I think.
A little more punky.
A little more punk, yeah. So when you're lined up ready to go into the pit, are there security guards who make room for photographers, or are you throwing bows to get up? Like, how do who've waited to get up front let you go in for three songs?
Well, it's funny because people, once I start saying these things, people will look around. Like the three song thing, you'll notice that next time you go to a concert and then you see the three songs, that's after the three songs, that's when the band addresses the crowd. They're saying hello as the photographers are walking out of the thing. So, I mean, again, it's not necessarily, it's just because the distraction of the photographers walking out, and then they use that time a lot of times to address the crowd. And it's kind of the same thing with festivals. For the most part, most festivals have the entrances and the exits built in to the way they have the fences set up.
Okay.
So, you know, it might be a little confusing at first sometimes, but generally by the time, you know, the first couple sets you figured out, you come in stage left, you leave stage right, you might come out through the middle. And then you always have some kind of identifier, like a wristband or a tag or something. And for the most part, security will acknowledge and know you and let you in. And then part of the planning of a festival is to not allow so many photographers that it is unhealthy or unsafe in the in the pit. You know, having said that, every possible, you know, combination of what you just said has happened. I was elbowed in the face trying to, you know, I've been punched, I've been everything, like from fans and people, and also people coming over, you know, while they're mosh or while they're crowd surfing. And you know, that's obviously not intentional or anything. But people have literally elbowed me in the face because they were mad the photographer was trying to come through and stuff.
Wow.
So we've had all that. And then, you know, then there's the security guard didn't get the memo and you have to like have the argument with them as well. So, I mean, there's that occasion, but generally it's run really well, particularly festivals and festivals of Riot Fest and Lollapalooza size, where, you know, you have your badge, they know you come in, you exit, and they also, you have usually a media person that's corralling you in and out.
Yeah.
So you gather, you go in, and then they scoot you all out.
Okay.
So.
That's a relief, because I was imagining, because also you're not carrying an inexpensive piece of equipment into that crowd. So tell, what are you shooting with these days?
I shoot with a Canon. Okay. You know, and I have various lenses and stuff. So, I'm a Canon girl, but you know, it's kind of one of those things where the cameras are so good. It's funny because when I travel now, a lot of times I don't even bring my DSLR. I just use my iPhone.
Yeah.
Because they're so good. I mean, I don't think anytime soon they'll take over for the level of like low light concert photography. But when I'm going to a bright location, I can literally just take pictures with my iPhone.
That's
crazy. It's just crazy. You know,
when I go and I look at some of the old photos on my Flickr that were from like my BlackBerry or my first Android phone, and which I thought were good enough to put on Flickr, and just how far phone cameras have come.
It's a thing for me is like, Chase Jarvis is a famous photographer and he always says it's the camera that you have with you. And, you know, that's my thing is like, I'm not going to lug around a camera to get the one artistic shot when I could have my iPhone with me and take 50 shots that, you know.
So obviously COVID has impacted everything.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, but what has been happening in Denver? Are there like outdoor shows? Is there anything happening? Or
We have a couple very small venues that are been able to. We've been kind of locking back down as everything spikes. We've had a couple small venues that have been able to do small shows. So I've photographed two shows since March. I don't know if you've heard of NEVA, which is the National Independent Venue Association, and they're putting on a lot of work the hashtag is Save Our Stages.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it has been like, okay, how much merch can I buy from these venues, or how much, you know, can I buy take home beer? Because Denver allowed us to do take home alcohol, which was a huge thing to save a lot of our restaurants and venues and things. So it's been a really kind of horrible thing because as a concert photographer, it's not just me going out to concerts, but like I know all the bartenders in town, you know, and they're all out of work. And it's just been a very disheartening thing where, you know, we're just trying to make sure we save those venues so they'll be there next year.
Yeah, we're seeing that in Chicago. There was, I feel like today there were at least three venues that said, you know, some of like a Shuba's in Chicago has a kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they have finally said, we're closed. We're temporarily closing because even with takeout, it's just not enough for some of these places to.
Yep.
And I totally get that.
Yeah, like you can't even afford the rent. To, you know, to just not to mention the employees and it's very depressing. So yeah, we were able to have a couple again outdoor, but we're on a 25% max right now. So it's just not a feasible thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if we locked down completely again.
Tell me about some of your favorite, both high profile, you know, wow me with the celebrity of like the coolest big name band photography experiences. But I also want to know about your favorite, because you are so involved in the local Denver scene. So I'd love to hear about some of your favorite venues or local bands lately. But how about some of the big names that have turned out to be like really cool and positive?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the one I always quote is photographing U2.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, you've heard of them. And then I got to meet Bono that night as well. So I met Bono through one.org, which I'd done a lot of work for his nonprofit, and then had to sprint through the venue to get there to photograph, and was very proud that they had actually approved me. They had no idea that I worked with one.org. So that was a very big highlight of my life that night. And he was very kind and generous and thanked me for all the work I did. Just a spectacular night, the whole night.
Was that a Red Rocks or?
It was at Pepsi Center, which actually has changed its name to Ball Arena now. So, which is where it happened like 2 weeks ago. So we're all trying to get our head around that name. But I photographed a lot at Red Rocks, and it is it's the best place on earth to see a concert. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but it's true.
I think it's fair. It's a beautiful.
But it's very difficult actually to photograph because you have to lug your gear up. You have to get there at certain times to meet. You have to photograph on your knees because they're doing a lot of work on it now since they were closed all summer. So I don't know how it's going to be, but you have to photo. So I always bring knee pads because you have to be on your knees in the concrete in front of the band. So from a photographer's perspective, it's terrific, but / very daunting and hard because you know, it's like a big old hike with 50 pounds of gear and then being on your knees for half the night. So,
but then you go out to like the edge of it and you get like those beautiful, like a sunset or the vistas get when you're up there.
It's the best. It's the best venue in the world. And then another band I'd like to mention is, there's a band called Jukebox the Ghost who is kind of a, up and coming band. They're very established. They've been around forever, but it's like one of those things where they've finally got some hits and people are recognizing them. But, since we're just past Halloween, they normally do a Halloween show.
Okay.
And where they do one set as themselves and another set as Queen and dress up as Queen and the lead singer. So not obviously this year, but the year before they did one of those shows in Denver and the lead singer shaves off his beard yearly into a Freddie Mercury mustache. And I was down there in the green room and taking pictures of him as he was shaving it off. So that was a very fun, different kind of photography experience for me. And they were very fun. They're always very fun to photograph and they're a very fun band. And I've photographed them probably 6 times. But
were you the only one in there for the shave?
Yeah, there was a videographer and myself.
Very cool.
So that's, you know, again, like those kind of experiences are things that, you know, if you'd asked me 20 years ago or things that I would be doing, I would never have believed you. You know?
Yeah. Did you guys go see much live music before you started organizing the concerts?
We did. And that's partly how it came about. I mean, I was one of those people, as soon as I got my driver's license, I was at all the concerts. And so we did. And, you know, we do now. And, you know, like you said, we're very friendly with the local band scene. So it's such a great thing to go out in Denver. And I'm sure it's the same in Chicago too, even though Chicago is a much bigger city, but it's, you go out and then you see all these people that you know that either are in bands and then they're going to see other bands. And that's another thing that's been weird about COVID is that you actually have to plan seeing people. Whereas before you would just show up at a show and there'd be 6 people, 10 people that you knew. So that's been an adjustment as well.
Yeah, I find that one of the things that I never would have predicted missing is exactly that. The people that I see twice a year at like a Halloween party.
Right.
I've got a couple friends that have an epic Halloween party every year. And there's this whole social circle that I see at that party.
Right.
And to have a year go by, one, not getting to see everybody's brilliant costumes.
Right.
And then realizing, well, we didn't have Halloween. I'm not going to have my Hanukkah party. That all those touchstones I've got a lot of friends really active in live lit in Chicago and storytelling. And so there's just all these people that when you run in those particular circles you don't have to make plans to see them.
Right. It's a very weird feeling. We've been lucky. We've been playing a lot of Zoom games online, and a lot of people have been kind of showing up for that. And I feel lucky to stay connected with, we call them our quarantine team.
Nice.
But it's, you know, it's still not the same. But at the same time, we're making do.
Yeah. How much, so we talked a little bit about your camera. Do you then do a lot of post-production?
Yeah, I'm yes and no. Like, I'm one of those people that I'm an Adobe person, so I work in Photoshop and Lightroom, and I'm one of those people that I have certain things I like about both. So my process is really kind of dumb, in fact, that it takes longer than it should, because I actually bring photos back and forth between the two.
Okay.
But that's just because I'm a super perfectionist. It's not really what I suggest to people to do. But having said that, you know, I as far as like massive edits, I don't do that. But anyway, so I like colorful photos. I like black and white photos. I have a couple different styles, and I really like depth of field. I really like getting flare from the lights in camera. So there's just like not a lot of cropping that I do, or a lot of crazy things that way that you'll see kind of in these super processed photos. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's just other people's styles, you know? And then, but at the same time, I do feel like I wish I could make my process quicker, because it's kind of ridiculous how long I take.
That's fair. I've been learning Adobe Audition with this project, and there are definitely some things where I know I'm not doing it the smartest way.
Right. Well, that's how you learn too.
Yeah. Do you have some concerts, some bands on your dream board of in a post-COVID?
Yeah.
Once we've secured our local venues and our bands are performing again, what are some of your dream shows?
It's not surprising based on what you know about me that I do have a spreadsheet of that.
Oh.
But I would say, after seeing him on Saturday Night Live recently, Jack White has gone right up to the top of that list. He was, I don't know if you saw it, but it was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, just, he blew me away. So he had been on the list and then shot right up, because I'm hopeful for that. But I've been very lucky. One thing I will say I'm very lucky about is that part of what happens in terms of whether you're approved or not is also like how, I guess, quote unquote, wanted a band is. And meaning, like, you know, Harry Styles is going to have every newspaper there.
Right.
And again, it's not necessarily a reflection of anything other than, you know, what is going on in the latest music buzz. But I'm lucky that, you know, being older, I'm the one that's interested in all these kind of like 80s bands and things like that. So sometimes I'm there and I'm the only one photographing.
Wow.
Because nobody else has requested it, or, you know, maybe a couple, but it's not packed like it normally is. So I've gotten in the last couple of years so many of my favorite bands from when I was in high school that I've just been blown away, you know, that that I've been able to do that, you know, like Simple Minds, Depeche Mode, Psychedelic Furs, Echo and the Bunnymen, like all of these like bands that I loved in high school.
When you're the only photographer, though, does the 3-song rule stay in place?
Usually, yeah. Because again, it's about not blocking or impeding the fan. And then sometimes, again, what's really hard is, depending on the venue, is if they don't have a pit. So sometimes you're trying to navigate through the crowd to get your shots. Sometimes if it's a smaller show, you might be really annoying people. So, you know, again, if a show is well lit, you can get your pictures in one song. It's not that hard. It's just more when the lights are terrible, which I complain about a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, or you can't get to the right spot in the right time. So the 3 songs, usually you get a plethora of pictures.
Okay. What do you think is like good? Do you at this point have in Denver lighting people that if you know this person's on, then like you're going to love the photographs you take?
It's more about the venue. But yeah, where there's venues that I don't request as much unless I really want to photograph the band. But kind of the medium-sized venues, like the 1,000-person room, is like a big enough room that they'll have, you know, either their own person or the person that works there knows what they're doing. And then, you know, obviously then up from there, it's usually pretty okay.
Okay.
We have a new venue that just opened the end of August of 2019 is a place called Mission Ballroom. And it's actually a really interesting space because it's 3,500, but they can move the stage up to collapse it to 2,500. It's like this state-of-the-art place. Yeah. It's super smart because, you know, if you have a non-selling show, or you want a more intimate show, but that place, was built from the ground up and everything about it is amazing. And what's sad is that, okay, so they were August to March. And so there's a lot of people in Denver who haven't even ever been there.
Right.
So I'm excited for that one to come back online. And my husband hasn't been there.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite places to photograph now.
The Mission Ballroom.
Mission Ballroom, yeah.
That's so smart to have, you know, you think about it in other venues, a hotel ballroom can do the walls in 25 different ways, but you never think about an arena or a theater moving the stage.
Right. They hadn't had to do it since they started because it was all selling out like crazy, but yeah.
Right.
It's about the venue. And then again, even the small ones will be good if it's a smaller show and then you can get around. Or again, if I know the band, then I'll kind of beat it into them.
Right.
About what the lighting needs to be.
Yeah. That they can get more dramatic or darker or.
Yeah. People who know me and are listening to this know exactly what I'm about to say, but the big problem with concert lighting is red lights. It's very hard to capture on film or on digital because digital overcompensates for red. So yeah. It washes out your face. So you get no details of people's faces or anything. And it became like this trend. There was a point where I was like, I'm done. I give up. You know, and in fact, actually, there was a point just in general where I was a little bit fed up with everything, the politics, everything. And I went to Bunbury, which is a festival in Cincinnati. I went there last spring, of 2019.
Okay.
And it reignited my passion for concert photography. I met a bunch of great photographers there. Kind of had just a really great time and had loved my photographs. It's like the posts from that festival are among my most popular posts of all time. It was kind of one of those things where I got super pumped again and then we all shut down.
What a bummer.
But it's okay. Yeah. And when we get back, it'll be great.
It'll be so exciting. I can't wait for, I do see a fair amount of live comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I don't do live shows. It's that I don't do live music. So it was Bunbury?
Bunbury, yes. Bunbury. And it was a very nice, smaller festival, but had great headliners. It was like Greta Van Fleet, 1975, and I'm spacing on Fall Out Boy was the third day. And, but a great, you know, kind of like how Riot Fest does this mix of different genres, but still kind of on the harder edge of things.
Yeah.
It was just a really nice festival. It was really well organized. And I was supposed to photograph Shaky Knees in Atlanta this year. And then that's part of, again, talking about Empty Nester. That was what I was gearing a lot of this towards is being able to work remotely and then go to festivals and photograph festivals and mix music and travel together. I mean, which will happen, you know, it's just taken a little pause, but really thrilled that kind of was coming to fruition as my son has taken off to college. So that was kind of the whole plan, and it actually worked out.
That is so cool, because my goal is that by Memorial Day, we're back on airplanes, feeling good about being back on airplanes. That's my personal.
Well, my 25th wedding anniversary is Memorial Day weekend, and we have had a long-standing plan to go to Mexico, probably not that exact weekend, but right around there. Yeah. So I am right there wishing with you that let's put it out in the air that it's safe to travel by Memorial Day next year.
Yes.
Because that would be nice to be able to celebrate our 25th there.
Have you ever been to any of those? I know some people that are super into fish, and there's like a Fish Mexico Beach Festival. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I'm actually not really a jam band kind of person, but I have considered going to some of the other, you know, like I have a friend that has been on the Rock Boat one, and actually some friends that are in bands that have played the Rock Boat. And
yeah.
I don't know. I consider it, you know, again, it's like one of those things where we were just stepping to the place where we had no kid obligations and could think about anything. And I'm almost up for anything,
yeah.
You know, but, at the same time, it's like, festivals are very tiring and exhausting.
Yeah.
But I do love them because you get to see so many bands, that you don't necessarily heard of, or that you wouldn't necessarily pay to go see, you know. And that's the thing that I like about them is, you know, you know you have your headliners or whoever you like, but then you can, you know, for me, I'm running around trying to photograph as much as I can, but
right.
You know, you have these smaller stages where you discover bands that you just might really love. There was a band at Bunbury called Friday Pilots Club, and I just love them and listen to them all the time now. And even my son, it's one of his favorite bands now too. So it's just, you know, and they've never even played Denver. They've never been out west.
Wow.
So again, it's like one of those things that's one of the things I really like about festivals is you can just discover new things.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned a spreadsheet. So are you... You track all the shows you go to?
Not all of them. I luckily the blog does that a good job of that for me. Well, in terms of, you know, knowing who I photographed, I can just search through there. But the spreadsheet, which of course I can't find right now, is about wish list, bucket list.
Okay.
Bucket list, that's the word maybe I had in here.
So these are your bucket list bands.
Bucket list, yeah. So it's a wide variety. Like, for example, I haven't photographed Foo Fighters, you know, that like, and then there's some pop ones like Justin Timberlake. I mean, again, some of them are high reaching, you know, and then some of them are bands that aren't touring very much. Like I put Pearl Jam on because they were supposed to tour this year.
Yeah.
Black Keys, David Gray was coming to Red Rocks this summer, you know? So again, some of them are not necessarily huge bands, but then, you know, like the list of all of my favorites, honestly, I've been really lucky. Like my top 10 favorite bands, I've photographed them all.
That is so cool.
I know. It's honestly, I feel very, very lucky about
that. Yeah. Because then after you finish your three songs, you get to stay.
Yeah.
How often does your husband come to the shows with you?
Pretty often, actually. And what's really nice is that he'll end up carrying my camera bag around for me. Yeah. So that's a quadruple benefit of
yeah.
it. But he'll come, you know, his taste, I'm kind of more indie pop, and he's more indie punk rock
okay.
side, but we definitely cross over a whole lot. He and I both adore Harry Styles' new album. So, I mean, again, there's things that we cross over that people wouldn't expect. We do enjoy going to music, seeing music together.
That's so nice.
He's a great partner at it because he understands, like, it's, you know, he's fine to be by himself and I'll just go do my work and, or, you know, whatever I need to do and then come find him and then leave and come back. So it's a good partnership.
Yeah. He's not feeling sad and lonely.
Right.
That mm-hmm. you're doing your work.
Yeah.
That's important. What are things that I haven't asked you about concert photography that are top of mind for you? Or,
well, what's one thing that's really nice, I'd say, is that there's a lot of kind of old school photographers who are now on Instagram and posting all these fabulous, you know, photos from the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Because they're also at home with nothing to do.
Right. These are at home, you know, but I mean, I feel like there's some really legendary photographers. Some have passed even in their, and their estates are posting these photos, but it's just really neat to see some of these iconic photos and get a sense of sometimes the behind the scenes photos of them. And so some of those, let me list them off, is Lynn Goldsmith, Mick Rock, Jim Marshall, Henry Diltz. Like, I really enjoy following those guys and just seeing some of these really iconic photos or like I said, or the stories behind them. The other one I really enjoy following is Mary Ellen Matthews. She's the SNL photographer and she worked, you know, kind of behind the scenes and worked her way up, but she's the one that does the photographs that are kind of in between that they show, you know, as they're going in and out.
Yeah.
And I'm so in awe of her talent and like just the originality, and she's been there forever. So her feed is really wonderful to look at. But then, you know, the other thing that's nice is that we have a really great local group, you know, that we know each other. Like, one of my favorite photographers locally, her name is Shannon Shoemaker. There's another music blog here called The Prelude Press, and we are kind of concert buddies, and I think she's super talented. Mark Tepsick, Seth McConnell, like there's just some really great local people, and it's really fun. And we've been all texting each other because we miss seeing each other, where we didn't necessarily go out together all the time, right, but we would see each other a couple times a week. And so it's been a weird year from that perspective as well.
What is basic etiquette that if somebody's shooting their first three concerts, what is like the basic etiquette?
So one of the things that drives me nuts is when people carry their bag around in the pit, because all it does is bang on other people. Like, you walk in, you put your bag down, get the things you need, and then if you need to go back to your bag, go back to your bag. So that's one. The other thing is that you should always walk under people's lenses, duck down. Like, you shouldn't walk in front of their lens. And we try, you know, a lot of people try, like the friend Shannon I mentioned earlier, she's a lot shorter than me. So a lot of times you'll get where I'll be standing behind her and shooting over her head.
Right.
So you start to get those pockets of who you know and how to stand with each other. But again, so that you're not blocking, and also not standing like in one place the whole time. You move around, so you let other people get the shots.
Yeah.
You move back and forth. So.
Wow. It's really a dance.
It is a dance. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. And again, it's like, I'll come out of the pit and it's like a rush, you know, where you're like, I know I got it and that was really fun. Or, you know, you're disappointed because there was nothing that you feel that was special in that last 15 minutes or whatever. Sometimes there are shows where you don't necessarily love the band, but you're there photographing and all of a sudden it's like magic. Mm-hmm. That happened photographing DNCE, Joe Jonas's like pop band.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite shows I've photographed. They were so good and so like the bass player was up on his back doing bicycle wheels with his feet, you know, so I have pictures of him upside down and, you know, the guitar player. And like they were, all of them were just crazy. The lighting was great. It was, you know, a lot of us still have mentioned that show as like, they were fantastic. And I was kind of like, oh, whatever. Yeah. I'll go photograph Joe Jonas's band, you know, whatever. But Yeah. So, I mean, that shows also that, speaking of like when you find something special, when you go and you photograph a show because your favorite PR person asked you to, and then you walk out and you're like, oh my gosh, that was so good.
And then you're really going to listen to them when they call again.
Exactly,
in the future.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. Like, there's a young gal, I'm not sure if she came up through YouTube or one of the singing contests. Her name is Grace Vanderwall. She's like maybe 15 or something.
Okay.
And I was literally blown away by this girl. And again, it's one of those things where the searches on her on my site through the roof, because, you know, again, it's kind of one of those things where she's not a mainstream person, but everybody knows her through the internet.
Yeah.
And so again, it's like one of those things where somebody, you love seeing somebody get recognition because they're so talented and everyone has just fallen in love with them.
And what was she, what venue was she at?
She was at the Bluebird in Denver, which is a great like 500 person room that actually used to be a porn theater about 30 years ago, and is now kind of taken over a strip that it has become a little bar district. Speaking about the power of making a venue and then everything around it became a bar to support that venue. And now it's called the Bluebird District, that little strip. So yeah, it has a great old marquee. And a lot of new people moving to Denver don't know that it used to be a porn theater. So
there are people that don't know Times Square used to be a porn theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. Yeah, this makes me really miss live shows.
Yeah, sorry. I know.
That's okay.
It just makes me excited when it comes back. And it's funny because I've been sharing on Instagram a lot of my favorite photos from, you know, the before times.
Yeah.
And it just makes me happy to kind of relive that a little bit and actually take a little more time, because a lot of times I'm just chugging them out, you know, to put them on my blog and stuff. And it's been nice to kind of take some time and go back and look through them and really, been like, wow, I have photographed a lot of different people. And, you know, it's been nice to kind of take a breath and look at it.
Yeah. Very cool. So you'll, looking ahead post COVID times, you'll have your anniversary trip to Mexico.
Yeah.
And then the traveling, the remote work, and then traveling for festivals and concerts. That is your next version of this.
Yeah. I mean, again, one thing that's been missing, I think, a little bit is writing some personal stuff. And I've been trying to a little bit, but I think, you know, again, we've all been kind of down in this hole, but at the same time, so I think there's some things that I want to write about that haven't come out yet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's such a, what's the right word? It's such a release to just, you know, be able to talk about the fun things that we do. That's what I feel like my site has become, you know, because like, for example, over the summer, you know, I'm not like you were saying about cooking. I'm a light beer drinker. You know, I'm not very complicated in terms of those things, but you know, when we've been doing these Zooms, I've been, trying simple mixed drinks.
Yeah.
And so I did a post about that of like two ingredient drinks. And so, you know, again, I like that my blog is not one thing or the other.
Yeah.
And I look forward to exploring that more. But my two, you know, definite primary, and concert photography being number one. But I've also, like, I've done a lot of interviews with bands and people.
Yeah.
And that has continued throughout the summer and has been really a positive thing. So I, you know, that'll continue and I hope grow. And so again, that's the goal, is just to do as much as we can for as long as we can.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, Amy, it's been a real treat getting to catch up with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
The internet is, I love the internet. Some of my friends who are like friends I met in real life first, I think all my internet friends are real friends, but where did
we
meet?
I didn't take it that way.
I've got some people who are really shocked of how much of my, how many people I have met through the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what my life would look like without it.
Even a bunch of my local concert friends, people be like, oh, how you met? I'm like, Twitter?
Yeah.
Where else would I meet somebody right now?
How else do you meet somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter when it was still like very good and, you know, it's like old Craigslist, that if somebody was selling something on Craigslist 15 years ago, like you probably wanted to be friends with them because they knew that Craigslist existed.
But I have to say that I have been lucky through the craziness of Twitter the last couple of years in that I'm usually out drunk at a concert. And so the people I converse with are the late night comedian drunk people.
Yep.
And so Twitter has remained very entertaining for me for the most part. So I'm lucky that way too.
Yeah. It has stayed when I've thought of, I choose who I follow. Right. I manage that stream and I still see a lot of good, fun people there.
Right. I mean, it's not nice being called names all the time, but it's easy. It's much easier to mute them now. So that's good.
It is so much easier. So, so much easier. So, well, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with me tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.